ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, titled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 19. Tada rajastamo bhavaha, kama lopadayaschaye, cheta eter anavidham, स्थितं सत्वे प्रसीदति तदा एट दैट टाइम रजः इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन तमः द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस भावः द सिचुएशन काम लस्ट एंड डिजायर लोभ हैंकरिंग आदेयः अदर्स Cha and ye, whatever they are, chetaha, the mind, etaihi, by this, anavidham, without being affected, stitam, being fixed, sattve, in the mode of goodness, prasidati, thus becomes fully satisfied. Translation: as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and becomes completely happy. So here is a purport by His Living Grace Srila Prabhupada. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This state of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the deceased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudev, or the state of unmixed sattva or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful foolish and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord. However, they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and His devotees are one and the same. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjani Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanutute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
So here we are going through a series of connected verses in this second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And these verses are very, very significant. And in a few minutes we will see how these verses are connected and how are they so important in practice of our devotion service. So when we preach, often we have a seminar which is why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. So this is like a kind of a favorite topic, and it is very attractive for many people. So if you advertise a series of seminars, say for instance a few topics are there, who am I or who is God or something, few topics are there, or in between if we insert this topic, why bad things happen to good people and vice versa, then people are very curious and people want to know, oh, I will at least come for the seminar. We have the CD, Science of Self-Realization, with a series of lectures, and one lecture is titled this. So when they get the CD and a person who look into this series of lectures, straight away they go into this lecture. Because if, practically speaking, everyone can relate to this topic. Point number one, everyone thinks that they are good people. So that is the first thing. So why bad things happen to good people? So everyone thinks we are good people. There is nothing wrong with us, so we are good people. And naturally, as we know from this nature of this world, bad things are bound to happen for everyone. So this combination works very well. So why bad things happen to good people? People are attracted directly. Now, if you look into the next part, why good things happen to bad people? So when we look into that, that is even more attractive. Because we could at least tolerate some bad things happen to ourselves. But if we see somebody who is doing all heinous activities, and at the same time he is getting all good results, the people will come, how can this happen? So there also it is very appealing, because naturally good thing also has to happen for people. As much as bad thing happens, good also thing happens. But at the same time, when we look to other people, we see many bad qualities, because that is the conditioned nature. So we see, okay, other people are bad naturally and good things are happening. So in both ways, this one topic having two parts, very appealing. And as we know, the solution to this is, or the content of this lecture is pretty straightforward, as all devotees we know. That is, the reason is karma. We say it is karma. One is responsible for one's activities, no matter if this lifetime or many lifetimes back. One is responsible for one's activities and one has to pay for the consequences. So this is practically the solution what we are saying. Not the solution, we say the explanation that is putting forth based on Bhagavad Gita is this, that is karma. And sometimes, and this karma term is so common everywhere, even in the Western world people know so much about karma, and not necessarily in a correct manner, but people have heard this term karma so much. However, in India it is very prevalent. Everyone, whatever, everything if you ask, it is Purva Janma karma. Whatever sinful activities you have performed in the previous life, whatever happens. So that is the, if people go and see some astrologer and he says the same thing, why all these bad things happening, he says clearly, you know, this is all karma. However, they cannot give a proper solution. And people become completely dejected. I met a person and he was telling, he is completely dejected. He is, lot of things are happening in his life. And he met many astrologers and everyone said, the reason is this, it is karma. So I understand it is karma. And I am reading Bhagavad Gita, I am understanding. But what is the actual solution? However, these astrologers, they cannot give the actual solution. They may give some patchwork, but they can't give the actual solution. Now, if you try to see karma, and if you try to understand a level one more deeper than karma, why a spirit soul which is pure, we are pure spirit soul, why do we have to suffer the consequences? So Bhagavad Gita explains in a level bit more deeper than this. So it explains, that is Purusha Prakritistohi Bhunjate Prakritijan Gunai Karanam Guna Sangosya Sat Asat Yonishu Yoni Janmasu. Karanam Guna Sangosya. So original reason, as it is explained in this purport as well, the soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter. So this is the explanation given in Bhagavad Gita. Karanam Guna Sangosya. So the reason is, karanam is Guna Sangha. When the pure spirit soul is going to associate with the material nature, the three modes of material nature, then naturally one has to bear with the consequences. It can be good or bad. That is Sat, Asat, Yoni, Janmasu. So it can be some pious birth, it can be some impious birth. But ultimately both pious and impious are binding to the material world. And it is mentioned, Bhungte Prakriti Jan Gunaihi. Bhungte. The term used is Bhungte means enjoys. So it doesn't matter whether it is suffering or it is enjoyment. Both the term used is enjoyment. Bhungte means actually, literally it means enjoys. So whatever it is, the spirit soul, which is conditioned, is bound to enjoy Bhungte, whatever happens. It is just trying to enjoy the modes of material nature. Can be goodness, can be passion, can be ignorance, can be a combination of all three. Doesn't matter, the conditioned being is bound to enjoy this modes of material nature. And this influence of modes of material nature is very interesting. By nature it is degrading. So it is like, as far as the spirit soul is in this material nature, the material nature is not an inactive substance. Just like as mentioned in this purport, the soul is not inactive. In the same way, the material nature is not also inactive. It is active by nature. It is just like if there is a house and if you don't clean that house, we just leave that house as it is. You can go to that house after 1 week, after 1 month, maybe after 6 months, 1 year. What happens? It gets dirtier and dirtier. And at one point it can even completely get destroyed. We don't have to do anything. We are not maintaining, that's the only thing we are not doing. But the nature is acting and it is making it dirty. Same, our own body. Now it grows, as we know, there are six stages. There is birth, there is growth, there is sustenance for some time, then creating some byproducts, and then there is dwindling and dying. So even the material body, it changes. And ultimately it gets destroyed. So whatever, when it is in connection with the material nature, it is, you know, there is a transformation and there is destruction. So the same principle actually applies to consciousness also. So when we are the conscious living entities, we are sentient beings, when we are in this material world, naturally our consciousness gets contaminated. We can see the example of Gajendra. Because Gajendra, he was thinking, you know, the king of elephants. He was so powerful. He had strength of 10,000 elephants. And he was the king and he had so many she elephants. He had big place to enjoy. And one day, he wanted to go for a picnic. So he had all his she elephants following him. And they had a good time. They walked forward and ultimately, they reached one nice lake. Where they entered and they were splashing water and enjoying and they were actually having a good time. But at that point, one crocodile started biting Gajendra's leg. And then there is this famous fight between Gajendra and this crocodile, which went on for many, many celestial years. So we can see even in our position, we are also in this material world for many celestial years. Because we say it's millions of years. So if we can count according to celestial years, there's no harm. Because so long we are here. And as the time was progressing in case of Gajendra, Gajendra was getting weaker and weaker. And the crocodile was getting stronger and stronger. Why? Because for the crocodile, that was the habitat. Its nature is water, whereas for Gajendra, for the elephant, water is a foreign land. And he couldn't do much. He was trying his best, and anyone could help him? Not really. She elephants could cry. They couldn't do anything much. Even though he was so powerful, nobody could do anything. He couldn't do himself, he couldn't help himself. And he had his fellow elephants. They couldn't help either, because they were not even as strong as Gajendra. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants, and other elephants we can understand how much strength they had. They couldn't do anything. And this crocodile was eating the flesh of Gajendra, and he was getting more strength, and he was pulling him down. So even for us, we are in the material world, and we are also going through this kind of degradation of consciousness. Not talking about devotees, but if you talk about anyone else without the devotional service, the consciousness is getting degraded and people are getting entangled more and more in the material nature. So that's the reason Yamadutas in the pastime of Ajamal, they make a very interesting point. Say they tried to capture Ajamal and they couldn't because he chanted the holy name of Krishna. And they had to actually go back to Yamaraj and ask, you know, they asked, we thought you were the Supreme Lord and you had all potencies and there is a reason behind that. The reason is, ultimately everyone is under the clutch of three modes of material nature. So one could act piously now because he is influenced by the mode of goodness. However, the modes are going to change. So after some time, they are bound to be influenced by mode of passion and ignorance. It means they are bound to commit sinful activities. It means they are bound to be punished by Yamaraj. Can you see? So, it is only just a matter of time. So, Yamadutas are thinking, it's only a matter of time. All the living entities in this world are bound for punishment. Because they are bound to be associated with the lower modes of material nature. So, it's just a matter of time. Now you may not be punished. You may be rewarded at this point. But just wait. So in that sense they thought, okay, Yamaraj must be the Supreme Lord because everyone is under the control by these three modes. So this was the conclusion of Yamadutas. However, we understand how the story unfolds in that case. So we can see this point very clearly. Mode of goodness, even if one is situated in the mode of goodness, what are the two products of mode of goodness? No, mode of goodness is not material desire as such. Happiness and knowledge. So there is the byproduct of material mode of goodness is happiness and knowledge. And when there is this happiness and knowledge, there is a chance of what? There is a chance of getting attached to this happiness and there is a chance of getting attached to this knowledge. So this attachment, in what material mode this attachment is situated? It is situated in the mode of passion. So even when we one cultivates the mode of goodness, but when one develops that small attachment for knowledge and detachment, or knowledge and happiness, then it can actually turn into attachment which is in the mode of passion. So from mode of goodness, one can actually glide down to mode of passion if one is not careful. So this is how the modes work, and this is how from mode of goodness one actually slides down further. And in mode of passion, what happens? There is hankering. Even in this purport mentioned, in this verse we can say, see this, tadarajastamo bhava kamalo bhaveche. There is lust, greed, hankering. These are, and the desires, so much of desires, these are in the mode of passion. And naturally, the desires will not get fulfilled in the material world, correct? We may have big plans, but by the nature, these plans are spoiled. So, when the plans are spoiled, then there is frustration and misery, which is in the mode of ignorance. So, naturally there can be a slow glide down from goodness to ignorance. So, this is the nature of material world. And if we try to understand the position of the pure living entities, originally we are pure, but now we are conditioned. It's a predicament of the living entities. We look at the predicament of this living entities, it is amazing actually. See, on one side, we can see that the living entity is considered superior by nature, correct? In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned, there is inferior nature and there is superior nature. The inferior nature is Bhumirapanalo vayugham mano buddhirevacha ahankara idiyame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Earth, water, fire, either mind, intelligence, force, ego, these are belonging to the inferior nature, apara prakriti. But there is a superior nature, which is the conscious living entities. That is apare vidasthanyam prakriti midhi mapara jivabhuta mahabaho yetam dharyate jagat. So now, if we see the conscious living entities, by all means we can see that the conscious living entities, we are superior to the dull matter. By all means. Because we have life and this bent, this dust, it doesn't have any life. We are chit and this is achit. All means we are superior to the dull matter. But the predicament of the living entities is that the inferior matter is controlling the superior living entity. Is it right? Because we are completely attracted and we are completely bewildered by the sense objects. So this is this is actually a humiliating position. And it's a very interesting position as well. Because the inferior nature is controlling the superior nature. So there it is mentioned, we can see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the different qualities that is acquired by a conditioned soul. So we can see here, lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness and sleep. Okay. Here the first three are the product of the mode of passion, right? Lust, desire and hankering. So it's a different degrees of desire, we can see, material desires, very different intensities in which the conditioned being is attracted to the different sense objects. And in ignorance, it is mentioned inactivity. You know, we have the tendency to be inactive, you know, just relax, doing nothing.
Lazy.
Huh? Lazy. And foolishness, that is very common. Foolishness and sleep, and all the time sleepy. You know, whenever we sit, you know, as in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was sitting and he was giving a lecture, and the devotees are sitting and started sitting for the lecture and started sleeping. As if, you know, it's like an automatic control, you know, sitting and sleeping. Prabhupada was, you know, chastising. If you sit, immediately you start sleeping. You know, what kind of taste have you got? You know, you sit and you sleep. So this is, you know, the nature of mode of ignorance. So we had to come out from the mode of ignorance. So that is the difference between giving a class and hearing a class. Speaker cannot sleep. Listener can't sleep. There is that option. There is that option. Even sleep, the speaker may be very tired, but still he has to sleep, you know, speak somehow or other. But listener can doze off. So this is mode of ignorance. We can hear in great devotees, they had no attraction for sleep. Sometimes we think, oh, if I could, it's a practical thing, devotees are many times exhausted, you know, do a lot of service and, you know, many late nights, getting up early. So people think, oh, if I can sleep, you know, long hours, it's so nice, it's so wonderful. You know, we do think like that. However, very advanced devotees, they think in the almost in the same opposite way. They think sleep is such a waste of time. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned many times, I have to sleep, but that is such a waste of time. I was, you know, reading a little bit about Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So he was mentioning, from his childhood, he was averse of sleep. From his childhood. And it was mentioned, from childhood, he was sleeping for 3 hours, 4 hours at max. Rest of the time, he was completely engaged in devotional service. So this is actually the advanced platform. We cannot imitate. If we imitate, we will become mental. Without sleep, the intelligence doesn't work, because not enough rest, so then become completely mental. Now, don't know what we are doing. So, we cannot imitate, but we know from third canto that is one of the signs of the symptom of intelligence is activity of the intelligence is sleep, because otherwise the intelligence will not get revived, cannot refreshed without sleep. So, take enough rest, so there's no issue. Here, now, I was just looking at a verse from the 14th chapter of 10th canto, where it again gives the superior position of the living entity. So it is mentioned Agyana Sabnyo Bhava Bandha Moksha. That is, it is mentioned both this material entanglement and the material freedom or the liberation, both bondage and liberation are products of ignorance for a living entity. So it's an amazing verse actually. Lord Brahma is making this statement. He is the, you know, founder Acharya, if you consider the whole Sampradaya, you know, it's coming from him, so he cannot make any mistake. So he's mentioning both liberation and bondage for a pure living soul is product of ignorance. Both conceptions are product of ignorance. So it is mentioned because the material bondage is illusion because living entity is not really associating with the matter. That living entity cannot really touch the matter. There is no real relationship between matter and spirit. And here this point is mentioned, the beginning of the purport itself, this point, a living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This is Brahma Bhuta or Atmanandi. So this state is nicely explained, which actually explains again the superior position of us. The original, without any contamination, the living entity. It's from the fourth canto. Very nice verse. Nanyaved dhadiyate yagyo brahmedad brahma vaditaha namuhyandina shochanti nahashyanti yatogataha. Always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasing fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. It is an interesting point. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as Brahman position by the advocates of the absolute truth. In such a liberated state, Brahma Bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or becomes unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to Brahma Bhuta situation. So this is the actual position of living entity. However, even though we are superior, we are completely under the clutches of the inferior nature. So, just from a logical point of view, if you think, say, if someone who is inferior by nature, if he has to control someone who is superior by nature, then there has to be a third person who can actually connect these two things. Or a superior person who can make this arrangement by which the inferior energy can control the superior energy. So from that we can understand there has to be a Supreme Lord, a superior energy, a superior power who can actually do this arrangement. And we know that is the super soul. Because in Bhagavad Gita mentioned, there is even living entities, there are akshara and akshara. One is fallible and one is infallible. The residents, the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord, they are infallible, they are akshara. And there are aksharas who are fallible, who are in the material world. And the Supreme Lord is above these two. So the Lord is above this, the superior energy, what we see as the living entity, and the Lord is above the inferior energy also, because these two energies are only few of his energies. Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate, because the Lord has multifarious energies. Now, only because of the false ego, right? Only because of the false ego, the arrangement of false ego, the matter can control us. Otherwise, it's not possible. Because of that identification factor, that the matter, the sense objects are able to bewilder us completely, even though we are superior by nature. And this is by the arrangement of the super soul ultimately. Due to the Maya Shakti, the whole thing is working. Now, this is our position in the material world, where we are associating with the modes of material nature, and there is a constant entanglement within the material nature. And now, at this position, how we can actually get out from this entanglement? Because we are actually going in one direction, and now we had to take a U-turn, because the move is not right, so we had to take a U-turn and come in the opposite direction. Otherwise, in the repeated birth and death, we are actually encircling in the repeated birth and death. Now, we had to make a tangential escape from this circle. So, how can we do that? So, the importance of these verses are, these verses explain how can we completely get out from this entanglement. And that too from a very progressive fashion. As we explained earlier, from the material mode which is higher, one degrades to the lower. In the same way, from how can one develop Krishna consciousness to the highest level, from very very basic level where there is a little bit of faith, a little bit of Shraddha. So that is the significance of these verses if we consider from verse 16 till 21. Gradual progression from a little bit of faith, even there is something even before little bit of faith. If there is something even before Shraddha. From that platform, how can one come to the highest platform of devotional service? That is mentioned in this verses. The progressive stage of devotional service is mentioned in this verses. So we can go through few verses and we can come to this verse so we can see how that progression happens. So the first verse we can see is verse number 16. It is mentioned, Shushrushoho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahasevaya Vipra Punya Dirtha Nishevanath. That is what Twice Born says, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vices, great service is learned. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Okay. Now, here, it is mentioning about Shraddha, little bit of faith in this verse, Shraddhanasya. Faith is mentioned in this verse. However, there is something before faith. Because how can we get faith from? Where can we get faith from? By serving. But to serve, there has to be some devotees. Correct? And the devotees should give an opportunity to do service. So, even for, we can say, okay, the faith can develop from Agyata Sukriti. We can say, okay, from the unknown devotional service, one could develop a little bit of faith. We can say that. But at the same time, if we have to develop some Agyata Sukriti, or if somebody has to get Sukriti by accidentally performing devotional service, still a devotee has to engage in some devotional activity. So, a presence of a devotee is essential. If somebody has to develop even a tinge of faith in Krishna. So, we can see when people come to, say our cross phase, they engage in some service. So, they are getting Agyata Sukriti. So, we can see it is an opportunity for everyone. So, people are getting somehow or other connected in one way or the other way, taking prasadam, seeing devotees, just seeing devotees. We can see even in Nectar Devotion, it is mentioned, just seeing the tilak mark on the face of a devotee, how everyone gets benefit. So this is the position, just seeing the devotee. So the source of bhakti Our source of Shraddha is devotee. So that is the first. And from that, one develops a little bit of Shraddha, a little bit of faith, which means it's not bad, I can at least associate, I can see what it is. So that is mentioned in this verse. So I am just going through this progressive stage. So here it is mentioned, with that mercy, one does some seva, which can be agyata, which can be without knowledge. And from there, he can actually come in association with the devotees. That is a proper association with the devotees, where one understands what is association with the devotees and how we can actually serve devotees, and one can live with the devotees, and one can actually make progress. So this is Sadhu Sangha, from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha. So this is the core of devotional service. And we can say, even in the progressive stages of devotional service, to the highest stage of devotional service, still one has Shraddha. It's not that Shraddha is only in the beginning and after that there is no Shraddha. No. Shraddha is in the very, very common Shraddha, in a very, very tiny form in the beginning, but as one develops Shraddha at the ultimate stage, one can manifest Shraddha. Even though one is acting on the stage of prema and the pure love, still there is Shraddha that is being manifested. Pratigyatava Govidaname Bhakta Pranashadi, Idi Sansritya Sansritya Pranan Sandharayameham. Draupadi is telling. She is telling that remembering your promise that your devotees never perish, I keep my life together. I am living only because of thinking your promise, only because of faith in your promise. So she is a prema bhakta. She is on the platform of prema. She is manifesting her faith in Krishna. So faith is there all the time. And from there it is coming to Sadhu Sangha. And in Sadhu Sangha, that is mentioned here, one can actually do service. That is mentioned in the verse 16 as Syan Mahasevaya. One does service. And from there, one can actually do the Bhajana Kriya. Means the actual practice of devotional service, Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti, which we are trying to practice, because we are fortunate, we had the sufficient faith to associate with the devotees. We are in association with the devotees, and now that we are performing Sadhana Bhakti, so that is Bhajana Kriya. Now, just quickly going through, in the next verse, in the verse 17, which is Shrunatam Sakasa Krishna Punyashravana Kirtana, Hridayandasto Hi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrut Satam. So there it is very clearly mentioned, Vidhunoti Suhrut Satam. The Lord within the heart removes the anarthas. So this is due to Bhajana Kriya. The next effect is the anarthas are going away gradually. So that is the Shrunatam Sakasa Krishna. That is by the glories of hearing about Krishna. And once the anarthas reduces, it doesn't mean anarthanirvriti, it doesn't mean all the anarthas are gone, but all the major impediments in the path of devotional service are removed. Then it is mentioned, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtagi. So this is the Nishtha stage, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtagi. So that is the reason in the previous verse, the verse number 18, it is mentioned, as irrevocable fact, that is loving service unto the personality of Godhead who is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So that is the Nishtha state. Now we are actually coming to the current verse, which is Tada Rajasamo Bhava Kamalo Bhadeshche Chete Ete Anavitham Siddham Sattam Sattve Prasidati. So here in this verse what is mentioning is how, as we explained earlier, the effects of passion and ignorance, how they are completely removed. And when that is removed, there are two stages manifested. So one stage is known as ruchi. Ruchi means taste. So if you want to understand what is taste, it is explained that taste means now there is a pierced, our heart is pierced by sense objects. Our heart is pierced by sense objects. If we just walk down, if we see something which is not very nice, immediately there is an impact in our heart. Our heart is agitated, it is disturbed straight away. When we are chanting, even just a thought about a sense object, it just agitates the mind, correct? So this is our current stage. So even if we are in Nishtha, it can happen to some degree. Even if you are in bhajana kriya, it can happen to some degree. Anartha nirvritti, still, all this time, whenever there are sense objects, it has a direct impact in our heart. It is just piercing. The word used is pierce. This is very nice. Because pierce means then we cannot resist. It just, actually, you know, it's just injection, you know. Just goes inside. So, and then we are bewildered. We are agitated. Now, in ruchi state, that piercing is subdued. So it's a devotees can, you know, aspire for that, because it is a very wonderful state where we are very less affected by the sense objects, which are actually, that's the reason it is mentioned, troublesome to the heart. Because when we practice devotional service, we understand it's not just external, even though there are external activities, but a lot is internal. And if we want to make progress, we understand just external activity of devotional service in itself is not sufficient. It is insufficient. We have to understand what is the mood in which we are performing the activity. What are the intentions behind our activity? Only through that one can make progress in devotional service. Just with the external service, that will help to develop the right internal mood. Then finally it has to go with both combination. So that is mentioned here as there is internal activity. Internally, a devotee is not inactive. Internally also he is active. And some devotees, especially in the bhajanadi, they are maybe externally they may be inactive, but they are completely active internally. And for us, we have to be active both externally and internally to make progress in our devotional life. So, as we mentioned, both the, when the rajas and tamas, mode of passion and ignorance, when they are actually removed, as mentioned in this verse, then what happens? This ruchi, there is some taste. And a further effect of ruchi taste is called asakti. Or it is as it is mentioned in this verse, it's the intense desire is mentioned in this verse as sthitam sattve prasidati. That is, sthitam means asaktam. Means it is firmly fixed. So nishtha was a little bit fixed. There was an amount of getting fixed up in devotion service, but in the stage of asakti, it is firmly fixed. And it's mentioned that in, you know, when there is taste, still the mind can wander. While chanting, the mind can still wander. So if you think why the mind is wandering in this current stage of devotion service, even at the stage of ruchi, even when there is taste, still there can be wandering. That's the point. Still the mind can wander. But the difference is, in that stage, or the stage which is mentioned in this verse, when there is wandering of the mind, still, by the intelligence, one is immediately able to capture the mind back to the holy name. One is able to capture the mind back to the devotional service. In that way, the activity within the mind becomes very fixed. One can perform devotion service in the right mood. Because wandering of the mind means the mood in which, the intention in which one is performing the devotion service, that changes. That is completely deviated. But with intelligence, one is able to bring it back to the right mood and to the right service, like that. And when it is further developed, when it is firmly fixed, as it is mentioned, sthitam, then that bringing back the wandering mind, it is not just because of the intelligence, it is because of the taste for Krishna, taste for Krishna consciousness. So because of that intense taste, one develops that aruchi, one distaste for the sense objects, and then one becomes naturally bringing the mind back always to the holy name, to the devotional service. So that is mentioned in this verse. So that is the reason the final conclusion here is, then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Cheta ete anavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. Prasidati becomes fully satisfied. So that's progressive devotional service till this stage is mentioned in this particular verse. So then further stages are mentioned in the coming verse. So we stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yeah.
You mentioned that bondage and liberation.
Ah, okay. How the liberation? Okay, in one sense, We can look this verse in a couple of ways. Okay, so the bondage is product of ignorance, in the sense that the spirit soul can never mix with matter. Correct? It's not possible because both are qualitatively different. It's like, you know, simple example, oil and water cannot mix, two different things. So in that way we can understand, okay, this is two different things. Then when we speak about liberation, there are two points to that. One is, even though when we use the term liberation or moksha, the term used in Sanskrit is bhava, bandha, moksha. So when we use the term moksha, moksha means freedom from the clutches of matter. So the spirit soul cannot be satisfied just by getting liberated from matter. That is the one explanation or one point we can think about. That is, because the spirit soul can only be satisfied completely, prasidati, as it's mentioned here, when the spirit soul is attached to Krishna and Krishna service. So only by the service, ultimately the service in the spiritual world, serving Krishna in a Siddha platform, maybe material, wherever, when the spirit soul is completely engaged in Krishna service, that is the only time actually one becomes fully satisfied. So this apparent term moksha, that is also not enough. Because moksha just means getting out from the matter. It doesn't mean any positive engagement, that is serving the Supreme Lord. So in that sense, that is also the product of ajnana, product of avidya. Then, if we look the same two terms, that is this bandha and moksha, from the perspective of a pure spirit soul. Okay, now we explained in terms of a conditioned spirit soul. And if we look in the light of a pure spirit soul who is serving Krishna in the spiritual world, then again we can see two points. One, so if when we say that a soul is conditioned, it is actually unknown to the pure conditioned spirit soul. Sorry, pure unadulterated spirit soul in the spiritual world. For him, there is no concept of bonding because he is completely bonded with Krishna. See? Then, if we speak about liberation for a devotee who is in the spiritual world, for him liberation is also, it's just a myth. It doesn't exist. So it is just like this day and night can exist in the presence and absence of sun. Correct? Because when there is sun, when we can see sun, we can say it is day. And when there is no light from the sun, then we can say there is night. But think about a person who is living in the sun planet. For him, is there any day and night? There is no duality, there is no concept of day and night. In the same way, there is no concept of bandha and moksha. So that is another way of looking at the same point. Point number one, it is very difficult to assign a timestamp on this process. Okay, as you pointed out, it may not be possible for us to timestamp, okay, this is going to happen in this much. It's not like a, you know, graduation, you know, 3 years, and after the post-graduation, 2 years, then PhD maybe 4 years or maximum 5 years, like that, you know, we timestamp. But in this case, we can't, strictly speaking, we can't timestamp. Now, then point number one, why shall we analyze this first of all? Why do we have to know all these things? Okay, we should know this because then we don't get frustrated. We know we are not in the darkness. We understand. We get at least a reasonable idea what's actually happening, how this process is working. Otherwise, one can lose enthusiasm if we don't know how the whole process is working. So one should know how it is working, but at the same time, what we can practically do is very simple. It's not actually complicated. Even though the analysis can look a bit complicated, that is not there, this is not there, the different analysis, etc., etc. But the process is simple. And that process is we had to be very sincere in our devotional service. We were reading yesterday in Bhagavad Gita the same point. If a devotee is sincere, even if he doesn't have knowledge, still the Lord within helps and makes sure that he can go back home, back to Godhead. So the only requirement is sincerity. So even in our devotional process, when we do devotional service, when we chant, if we are sincere and if we are sincerely trying to please the spiritual master, in that way if we are trying to please Krishna, then all these things will happen naturally, organically. So we need to have only faith in the process, that is, it will naturally happen, and only thing what we had to do is we had to be sincere. Is that sort of... Yes, sir. Yeah, they are all liberation, yeah.
When you achieve that liberation, only you will have a facility or a chance to leave God and start being
Okay, so we had to understand it's a different terminology. It's only the difference in terminology. That is here moksha, when it is explained moksha, that is just means the sayujya. You understand the point? Here when I explain the term moksha, it just meant sayujya. It just meant sayujya, that's right. That's it. Yes, that's right.
So we still cannot.
Yeah, they are Vaishnava liberation. So we classify. One is impersonal liberation and rest four are Vaishnava liberations. Where one can personally serve the Lord. So acceptable. You mean how to balance?
How to continue like improving, like
for
example, like sleep
rest
and stuff, but not to.
I heard a lecture from a Maharaj, is called Pruva's disciple. So he was mentioning Pruva gave him the order reduce eating and sleeping. You know, that was pretty much, you know, one letter he received was, you know, you can progress, as pointed out, reduce eating and sleeping. So he mentioned that he couldn't do anything with that instruction for many years. He had to actually, you know, eat and, you know, sleep sufficient, you know. Like, he couldn't actually reduce whatever he had to go through for many years. He said that. I thought, yeah, it is fair. We, you know, it's a reality, because we may not be to the stage where we can reduce so much of eating or sleeping. We can control, and we can get to that optimal level where we can actually function. So much we can reduce, but after that we can't. So, with the current condition, whatever best we can do, if we do sincerely, then Krishna will reciprocate. Then when the time comes, then Krishna says, okay, you don't have to sleep so much, your body is sufficient with whatever. So one has to see as we progress. So now, at this point of time, we should take best use of whatever condition we are in. Then when Krishna sees that, then Krishna can give more. So he was mentioning, he couldn't do anything with that instruction for many years. Then later he said, then later I got the mercy of the Lord. So I understood, you know, we cannot just artificially do any of these things. One has to wait for the mercy of the Lord. Even if one has that desire, which is very good to have such a desire, but may not be able to do straight away anything. But still one has the free choice of utilizing the current opportunity to the best degree. So, yeah. Now,
yes.
One can try. One should, if one is empowered by the Lord, anytime it is possible. Anytime it's possible. And Krishna can also give anytime. Krishna can give anytime. Then the question is, are we ready? Are we so sincere? It is said, we often think, Krishna reciprocates to some of my prayers and he doesn't reciprocate to some of my prayers. Correct? So one very senior devotee, you know, was, you know, asking me this question. Have you heard this? You know, do you feel like that? I said, yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, some prayers Krishna hears and some prayers Krishna, no. So, I said, yeah, maybe, yeah, you know, I didn't know answer. Why such a situation? So I didn't know the answer. So I asked him, can you please explain what is the, how it works? So he said, he mentioned his realization. He said, is that, he's a very senior devotee, the realization is that Krishna actually reciprocates to, and he hears and responds to all the prayers. And he gives actually what we ask for. But only if the prayer is completely sincere. So he said, he was mentioning out of humility, he was mentioning, oh, my prayers are not sincere, that's the reason he doesn't know. So then I understood, yeah. So that we had to actually, we had to judge where we are. Then we can ask for something. There's no harm. If one can, one wants to get empowered now, fine. It's good for everyone, good for oneself and good for all around that person also. So there's nothing like that. So see how it is. I didn't get the... What is the question?
The word Vaishnava.
Yeah.
Is it a human attitude towards life, or is it a different class of society or
religion? Vaishnava means devotee of Krishna. That's a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means he's a devotee of the Lord.
So that's
the attitude towards life. Eh? He can be in an institution, he may not be in an institution. Doesn't matter, Vaishnava means devotee of the Lord. And he accepts Krishna or Vishnu as the Supreme Lord. He's a Vaishnava. Naturally, he will have a different attitude, different viewpoint to the whole world because he's a devotee. That is very natural. Srinatham Sakatha, yeah, yeah. Vidhunoti Surasatham, yeah.
So,
Yes.
All the
correct. No, there is change, right? So we had to keep going.
Okay, so I know there is no time frame for such expectations, but still, there should be.
If you want more, intensify more, make it tivra. If you want more, then give more.
So
that's all. It's up to us.
So what we hear today.
Yeah, maintain your increased quality. If you want more, we have to increase our quality of hearing, chanting, everything. It's an increasing process. It's not a steady process. Yeah. Yeah, we have to give more, and we have to understand it's a gradual process at the same time. We had to wait.
What happens by then, we completely fall down.
If we are in the association of the devotees, we are safe. That's all. As far as we are with the devotees, we are safe. Otherwise, we are not safe. That's a simple principle. If we are in touch with the devotees all the time, then we will not fall down. When we extricate ourselves from the devotee association, then we fall down. Otherwise, progress can be slow, fast, medium, but at least there is progress. Without devotee association, no. Maya is more powerful. That is the underlying principle. It's association of devotees. I think we have to stop here.
So constant association by Prabhupada is not practical.
Yeah, in all levels they need association. All levels. So that's the reason, make the family devotees, so you get devotee association all the time. Yeah, that is association. There are practical realities where one has limitations in terms of hearing, etc. But as you progress, Krishna can award you more time. And you have family of devotees, so that is devotee association as well. And you have deities at home, so you have deities and you have devotees. They cannot say that there is no association. But you need more association, so you come to temple, which is good. Okay. Thank you very much. Ventra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sri Prabhupada ki.